Hey there, friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. This is the show where we look at the big questions of life. This is the show where we look at current world events in the light of Bible prophecy. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide. And the question we're going to be dealing with today in the studio is this one. Could ancient financial principles help us today? Do we find instruction within the Bible about how we should relate to money? Today I'm joined in the studio by Pastor Justin Strauss. Pastor Justin is the pastor of the Adelaide City Church. Welcome to you, Pastor Justin.
Hello, Pastor Marty. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. I kept nice and warm today. It was really cold.
Oh, yeah. It's been cold here in Adelaide. Yeah, this time of year tends to be a bit chilly down here in Adelaide, but nothing compared to, you know, New Zealand where you were from before you came to Adelaide, of course.
Yeah, it gets definitely colder there.
Hey, you know, tell us, what has been something that, tell us something that, you're excited about that God is doing in Adelaide City Church at the moment. Share us with us a little bit about, how God is blessing the ministry there, because I had the privilege of going and actually preaching there not too long ago, and I was really encouraged and blessed to be at the Adelaide City Church.
Yeah, I think there are definitely positive, things that are happening, especially amongst the young people. We really are seeing God bringing in young people. When I say young people, you know, from the 18 to 30. And so All right. They really are, you know, coming together to study the Word of God. They took the service a couple of weekends ago. They had a youth service and, you know, just sharing testimonies and praising God. And it's really encouraging to see. We actually have a youth social tomorrow night at Adelaide City, playing badminton. And so I'm just going to put it out there. If anyone is keen to play badminton, come to 82 Angus Street, and we're going to have a feed and enjoy some social time together and play some games.
That sounds so good. You know, and it's great when young people are, you know, involved in ministry and leading out. And I tell you, that really thrills my heart to hear that. So God is on the move here in Adelaide and across Australia and across the world, as we know. Now, I do want to come to our World Watch segment, and I want to come to an article that was just released yesterday, and this was on the Christian News Network, and this is the title of the article: Unprecedented AI Agent Escapes Secured Testing Environment and Hacks Another AI. Now, I think this happened about a week ago or so, and I did hear about it before I actually had read this article. But I thought it was fascinating. The article says, an alarming story has emerged from the ever-expanding frontier of artificial intelligence. Last week, a top tech company revealed that its independently operating AI agent escaped from a controlled environment and hacked another AI company. Wow. OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT, was testing two of its most capable models when they escaped from their isolated testing environment on their own, went rogue on the internet and hacked into an AI called Hugging Face. Now, this is just remarkable, isn't it? So, you know, I thought it was interesting. You know, some people are sort of, you know, saying, yeah, you know, AI's now having a mind of its own, etc. But it was also interesting, though, that on the article it said, according to the BBC, Cambridge University professor of machine learning, Neil Lawrence, said that while the rogue AI displayed an impressive feat, in his words, he's not that concerned, saying that it falls well within the known capabilities of high-powered AI models. The article continues to say that the AI agent's attack is just the latest in a list of growing security concerns over artificial intelligence. Most recently, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman says, we've now reached the point of singularity. And this is when he says, when AI surpasses human intelligence. And he says, we are now in the singularity, like this is the moment. 10 years ago, he said, this was the kind of far-off dream at best, but it seemed very improbable. And now he says they are here. Altman is taking the debate to Washington this week, meeting with President Trump and the Trump administration, I should say, to showcase and push for approval of OpenAI's most powerful model yet. The model capable of solving complex tasks for businesses and the government. AI leaders like Elon Musk, Nvidia CEO Jensen Huang, and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella now say the answer is not to halt advancements of the technology, but to allow for the open source of AI and open models to create more cooperation and understanding and prevent any centralization of the technology. Well, Justin, what do you think about all this? Do some of these developments, do they concern you at all, or do you think that these developments are actually exciting?
Definitely concerns me.
Right.
I think it poses great dangers, you know, to humanity. You know, this AI, which is really rampant in just the last couple of years. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just interesting. Now, we do use AI. I mean, it is useful, and I do vouch for that, that it is something that, yeah, can be, have its time and season. But I think things like this, like with this article that you just read now, you know, it is dangerous when AI, you know, runs its own course and can cause havoc.
So there is an element of, you know, helpfulness that we recognize that, you know,
definitely.
AI has some tremendous capabilities, but some concern at the same time. I remember seeing an interview with Elon Musk where he did have concerns actually about, you know, where it could possibly go, and are there sort of security measures in place to kind of protect it? I mean, you know, what happens if AI kind of falls into the hands of the wrong kind of person, if that makes sense? You know,
'cause you almost have to rein it in. There has to be boundaries of protection. There has to be parameters in which you use AI, and once AI crosses those parameters and those boundaries are no longer there, then you can just think the catastrophic consequences of that. So, yeah, I think we, you know, can benefit from AI, but it does definitely pose great challenges.
Do you see this as another, you know, I mean, It's very typical when we see new technology to be sort of concerned. I think that that's a very typical approach. I'm sure that, you know, before the internet became a common thing, that many people saw that as a, you know, a very dangerous thing. And now we sort of go, well, you know, that's life. You know, we have the internet, etc. So is this just sort of another step in forward in sort of technology? I mean, what do you think? Is there something different about this compared to, say, the internet or even, you know, mobile phones and all these other technologies that we've seen develop over time? Is there something different about AI?
I think it definitely is something different about AI. It's computer intelligence. And, you know, I've read some articles on AI, and, you know, there are scientists that are warning of the dangers that it's going to, you know, supersede human intelligence. And once you get to that point, it can be an agent of deception. You know, I do believe that we are living...
Wow, that's a significant point.
We are living in spiritual warfare, and we do realize and recognize that Jesus is coming soon, and... You know, Satan is really, you know, using all agents of deception that he can. You know, so why couldn't he use AI? And
so this is an interesting point. Yeah. Cause I that was going to be my next question. Where do you see the impact of AI in terms of people's spiritual development, and their own experience with God and the Bible and discerning truth from error? Yeah. Where does AI fit into that for you?
Yeah. I don't think AI should ever be used as a way to decipher truth from error. I believe that God works upon the conscience of man through the reading of the Word of God. And so nothing should substitute that. And I just think we need to be very careful in the way that we source knowledge from AI. We still need to be very discerning and filter everything through the Word of God and not be spiritually and intellectually lazy.
That's such a hard thing though, isn't it? Because, because, you know, here is this technology now that at the click of a button, you know, can give you so much information. And it's just becoming the thing that, yeah, it's just, it's so easy.
Yeah. Cause nothing should replace personal study and personal conviction of the Holy Spirit. And AI can easily be a substitute for that.
So do you think there's a danger that that potentially, you know, that Christians and even you know, anyone who is on the spiritual journey could potentially go down the path of, well, what does AI say, instead of actually going to the Bible and going to prayer?
Because Satan's deception is always to, you know, eclipse the Word of God. In other words, draw people's attention away from the Word of God. And I do believe that in these days that we're living in, we need to cleave and cling to the teachings of the Word of God and not allow anything else to divert our attention from, because...
So that's a fascinating point, that, that at its core, every deception of Satan aims at basically, you know, distorting or diverting the mind away from God's Word.
In other words, taking away the primacy of the Word of God. I like to use the word primacy. And so, you know, like AI can even work out a sermon for you. You know, I am, you know, I'm a preacher and I study the Word of God, but I will never ever use AI to
write a sermon.
Never.
No way.
Would never do that. Cause I believe that comes through personal study of the scriptures, personal conviction, as the Holy Spirit works upon your heart and your conscience and he reveals truth. You know, the Holy Spirit reveals truth. And, you know, so, you know, we have to be very careful that the way that we use AI. Now, it is convenient. There are certain times.
Definitely.
It's definitely convenient when you need to find out, you know, information about a certain topic. AI will, you know, bring the information to you.
That's right.
It's pretty incredible what it can
do. It's pretty good for fact checking. You know, in certain situations.
So, you know, we're not discrediting, you know, and just saying, just throw it all out. I mean, but what I'm saying is that there has to be clear parameters in which we use AI. Mm. If there's no parameters, then it can easily lead us away from God's Word and His truth.
I think this is one of the big challenges with technology, because we've even noticed in recent years that, you know, here in Australia, there the government has sort of put in parameters for social media use, for example, for teenagers and younger people. And the reason why I guess those parameters didn't come in earlier was because they didn't really know. This was something unprecedented. It was new. And so they didn't really know, what kind of an impact is this really going to have? And I suppose we're kind of at that stage with AI as well. We don't really know how this is going to impact the human mind in the long term. Is this going to be progress, or is it potentially going to be something that actually affects our minds in a negative way? You know, and is it going to potentially dumb us down as a human race? You know, are we going to lose the art of actually thinking?
And research.
And research.
Mm-hmm.
And contemplation, and you know, these are things that,
and also the weighing in on the cost of, you know, people's employments. I mean,
True.
I mean, that's
what does that mean?
What does that mean? Is it going to people going to you know, they're saying that there are many, many, many jobs that is going to be absolutely obsolete.
That's pretty interesting. That's pretty scary, isn't it?
And if you look at some various articles, and that is a huge implication or a ramification of AI, is that there's going to be huge job losses. And so, yeah, we just need to be very careful regarding AI. It definitely comes with its dangers.
This is a very interesting conversation. What would you say to, you know, someone who is on a spiritual journey and they, you know, what kind of guidelines would you give when it comes to using AI and how that fits into our Christian experience?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. Never, ever substitute your own personal study of the Word of God. You know, so don't look for shortcuts. And it's so tempting because we know we live in a world of fast food, fast service. But when it comes to discovering of the Word of God, you know, the truths of the Word of God are waiting to be discovered by those who take the time and the effort to dig deep. And so, you know, it's easy just to rely upon AI, just a quick fix to discover a Bible truth. No, go to the Bible yourself and use AI sparingly. I mean, I use AI sometimes, but very sparingly. It's not something that I'm going to use copiously or a lot. So, you know, I really do believe that that personal time with God in prayer and the reading of the Word of God should be the primary focus of our lives. And
yeah, I think to me, one of the big concerns with, you know, things like whether it's AI or even the way that sometimes, technology is used is that it does teach us to rely on something other than God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can very easily become very spiritually, you know, weak and not know the Bible. You know, I have a real concern for a lot of young people today that even their memories are not going to be very sharp, because if we haven't disciplined our minds, because it takes discipline to study and to focus on something and to, you know, and to read the Word of God is actually, it's a discipline.
It is.
And a lot of, like you're saying, this fast food world in which we live, where everything is so high action, can sort of teach our brains to kind of struggle to really focus on anything and go digging and actually, you know, I mean, when was the last time, you know, that we really, I want to sort of challenge our listeners with this thought that, you know, when was the last time you carved out a solid hour just to read and pray? I mean, these are the basics. These are the basics of Christianity. And yet these are the very things that are being eroded. And like you said, once we eclipse the Word of God, like the psalmist, he says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you," in Psalm 119, verse 11. You can't hide God's word in your heart by clicking your fingers. Yeah. That takes time.
It does. You know, Pastor Marty, I've recently had this habit where every day I'm memorizing scripture. So I have, like, you know, a book and I take my Bible and I just write down, you know, with my hand, just every verse I just write.
That's so good.
And I am memorizing scripture because I want the Word of God embedded in my mind and ingrained in my heart. Because we are living in an age of deception. And the only safeguard that we have against deception is to have the Word of God firmly imprinted in our minds and ingrained in our hearts. And I think this is, you know, the most safest and secure way that we can resist, you know, the deceptions of these last days, is to take the time and study and read the Word of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will, when we encounter error and deception, if we've taken the time to you know, memorize the word of God, then God will bring to remembrance the verses that we've put in, and he will show us the truth.
I love this conversation that we're having, Pastor Justin, and the focus on our need to spend time each day reading the Word of God. Friends, we're going to come to some music now. This is a beautiful song. It's full of encouragement, and it speaks of God's amazing grace. But the song is called simply Grace by Laura Story. We'll be straight back with a free offer after this song.
My heart is so proud, my mind is so unfocused. I see the things you do through me, as great things I have done. And now you gently break me, and lovingly you take me, and hold me as my Father, and mold me as my Maker. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. At times I may grow weak and feel a bit discouraged, knowing that someone somewhere could do a better job. As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you by giving up my sufficient grace.
That was Laura's Story with that powerful and encouraging song, Grace. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time. And this is Marty coming to you live from the beautiful city of Adelaide. Friends, we're talking about ancient financial principles today. What instruction do we find in the Bible about how to relate to money? And also, what is our duty to the poor? Now, before we come to that, we do have a free giveaway. The book that we have today is actually a magazine released just this year in 2026. It's called Screen Smart. Now, this is one that should be in every single family, because I think knowing how to navigate screens and technology and encouraging our kids to sort of have good boundaries there, this is a challenge that many, many, many are facing. And I think the statistics are pretty alarming that, you know, the average Australian is spending about 9 hours per day looking at a screen. And how does that impact our sleep? How does that impact our mental health, our mood? So this is a great practical magazine. Like I said, just released this year with some of the most recent information on this whole issue of being screen smart. So let me just read you a little bit from the summary. It starts with a familiar glow, the light of a screen. A phone in your hand, a game loading, a scroll that never seems to end. Screens help us learn, connect, laugh, and play, but somewhere between just 5 more minutes and 1 more level, many of us begin to feel tired, distracted, or disconnected. That's where Screen Smart Log Out for Real Adventure begins. This vibrant life special invites readers to pause, look up, and consider what happens when we step away from screens and back into real life. Packed with eye-catching visuals, interactive games, quizzes and challenges, from digital detoxes to green time adventures, it explores gaming overload, social pressure, emojis, AI, and the search for validation, while encouraging authenticity, balance, and meaningful connections. This book, this magazine, is informative yet exciting, thoughtful yet fun. Smart Screen inspires wise tech use and reminds us to stay present and rediscover that some of life's most meaningful adventures happen when we log out and live fully together. Wow, I just am so excited about this particular book. So friends, if you want to get a free copy of Screen Smart, Faith FM, we're giving it away. We want to encourage our listeners to have that that balance when it comes to screen time. And so this is a brilliant book for families and for individuals as well. All you've got to do to get Smart Screen, released this year, 2026, is to text our studio number. And I'll give you the code in just a minute, but our studio number is 0488 808 11. That's the number you got to put in your phone and text us. So that number again, if you've got your phone ready, here's the number: 0488 808 11. And the code you need to text us is SA427. Just those 5 digits: SA for South Australia, 427. And we will get you this magazine, Screen Smart, in the fastest way possible. So text us 0488 808 11. If you've got any questions or comments, or you want to just let us know where you're listening from, we'd love to hear from you. And if you want to claim the free offer, text us the code SA427. Welcome back. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide. And joining me in the studio today is Pastor Justin Strauss, the pastor of the Adelaide City Church. Now, Justin, we're talking about this question: can ancient financial principles really help us today? What have you got in store for us today? See, you've got your Bible there open, and looks like you're in the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes, I am.
So what are some of these ancient financial principles?
Pastor Marty, you know, it's so interesting when you study and read the Bible how prevalent and prominent the theme of money and wealth is. You know, there's just so many True. References to, you know, biblical principles as to how to wisely use money. And even with the teachings of Jesus, some scholars say that 10 to 15% of his teachings was related to or alluding to money, possessions,
yes,
wealth. You know, so this is something
I think he said more about money than heaven and hell combined. Yeah.
So the Bible speaks a lot about money, finances, wealth, possessions. You can, you know, name it, you know, several different names, but it comes down to the main thing is how do we use our wealth for the glory of God and the blessing of humanity? I think it comes down to that. Because I sense when I read the Bible that we are held accountable.
True. Yep.
There is a strong sense of accountability. You know, God has blessed us with means, with resources, with money. And we need to realize that everything that we own comes from God. You know, nothing that we, you know, every day we breathe in God's air. We eat his food. We experience life in a body that he gave us. You know, God has given us the capacity and the capability of, you know, being able to earn a living. But ultimately, everything comes from God. And so the Bible has very clear guidelines when it comes to the usage of our money. But I want to, you know, we could speak copious amounts on what the Bible says about wealth, but I want to specifically focus in how it relates to the poor. Would you agree with me, Pastor Marty, that if you look at the world today, that there's a huge divide between the poor and the rich?
I fully agree with that, and I think that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
Absolutely. And I was reading stats today that you know, the poverty line is under $2 US dollars a day. And do you know that there's over 800 million people in the world today that live on less than $2 a day? And so this is actually growing.
Wow.
And so I would say that, you know, the gap between, you rightly said, the rich and the poor is ever widening. But I do believe with all my heart that if the world was following the principles given in the Word of God as relates to wealth and fair distribution of resources, that we would not see that gap.
Of course.
This is
remarkable. God is not into that kind of a system where there is some people, you know, hoarding wealth and others living in poverty.
The haves and the
have-nots. That's not part of God's plan.
No, it's not. And I do believe that it hurts his heart. You know, I believe that if the world followed the biblical principles relating to wealth, that we would not see such a vast discrepancy or disparity between the rich and the poor.
All right.
And so, you know, God sees things very differently. You know, we look up to the rich and many people idolize the rich and we look down on the poor. But the Bible says Proverbs 22 verse 2 says, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. So in God's eyes, we are all equal. But I do believe that God is a very fair and just God, you know, and it's interesting. And I've read profusely on the subject of the poor in the Bible. God has a great passion to help the poor. You know, there are so many verses in the Bible. You know, for instance, in Exodus 23 verse 3, it says, you shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. And then in verse 6 of Exodus 23, it says, 6 years you shall sow your land and gather its produce. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat what they leave and the beasts of the field may eat. So, you know, God has given clear instruction here to the Israelites that, you know, there was this 6 or 7 year cycle. And that for the first 6 years, they could cultivate their crops. But the seventh year was a sabbatical year during which the land was left fallow, unplowed and, you know, and used. And this allowed the poor people to gather food from what remained and provided sustenance for even the wild animals. And so this really highlighted the principle of provision, of a sense of community, help, you know, extending grace to those, you know, who were less fortunate. And another great one is in Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 and 8. I'm just reading a few verses, Pastor Marley. There are so many verses that God speaks about the poor and the way that we relate to them. But in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, could you read that for us?
Deuteronomy 15,
verse 7 and 8.
Verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs."
Verse 11 as well.
Verse 11. "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land."
Isn't God a gracious God?
God is a gracious God.
He is so kind and compassionate. I believe that it really hurts the heart of God when he sees, you know, poor people struggling to provide food for their families. And here God gives us clear guidelines that we are to prioritize the looking after the poor, the less fortunate, the needy. So I want to come to Leviticus chapter 25 verses 20.
Why would that be important for us to care for the poor?
Well, it reflects the heart of God, because God is a God who cares for others. He's a self, you know, sacrificing God. He gives of himself. And so when we follow a God, God is not selfish. He wants us to emulate the principle of kindness, compassion, giving, because that's basically the principle of his kingdom. It's not about self-preservation, self-getting, but the principle of God's kingdom is about giving and living for others.
So we are being more like Jesus when we're helping the poor.
Totally correct. You know, we look at the world today, and I believe that the problem with this world today is there's so many people that are just greedy and avaricious and coveting, you know, things and wealth and just wanting more and more money. This has caused so much woe and suffering in the world today. This is the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of Satan is, you know, live up to the flesh, get as much as you want, and then you die. Whereas the principle of the kingdom of God is, it's not about what I can get, but what can I give? What can I give, you know, for the glory of God and for the benefit of my fellow human beings? And so I think it's, you know, living with that kingdom mindset of giving for others.
It makes me also think that it can become very easy for those who've got, you know, money and property, etc., to put their confidence in those things. But it, you know, the Bible says riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death.
It's Proverbs,
and it makes me think that, you know, I'm doing a presentation on Pompeii on the weekend, and what's interesting is that, you know, when Mount Vesuvius erupted in, you know, 79 AD, many people were found still clutching onto their, you know, onto their gold, onto their jewelry. Many of them didn't want to leave their, you know, their beautiful homes, and they perished. And it's like, wow, you know, if we could learn to help the poor, maybe that would also help us to not be so attached to our worldly possessions, because ultimately, if we are attached to those things, they will lead to our ultimate ruin.
That is so true. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23 to 24, Pastor,
all right, Leviticus 25.
Could you read that for us?
Yeah.
Leviticus 25. This is also a very powerful text.
Okay, Leviticus chapter 25. What was the verse?
23 to 24.
23 to 24. The Bible says, "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant redemption of the land." That's interesting.
So this carries a profound message of generosity and kindness. And so God is giving clear guidelines that, you know, when they did harvest their field, that they would leave some corners untouched. And so this practice really, I believe, really reflects the heart of God to giving, you know, kindness and showing compassion to those who are in need. And so, you know, God has a real burden to help the poor and the needy. And so this really reflects a principle of social responsibility and communal care. I think we can extract, you know, these principles from these Bible verses. We know we're living in a different times. I mean, you know, we're not harvesting fields today, Pastor Marty. You know, we live in a, you know, different age. But I think the principle is that don't just live for yourself, but show kindness, compassion, generosity, and justice, you know, for others. And so, you know, these verses that we've read in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you know, is that we are to think beyond ourselves. And I believe that that is a source of true happiness. You know, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think when you live with that kingdom mindset of, what can I do to help others, you know, to uplift their burdens? I believe that that is a true source of joy. You know, people that are just seeking to hoard wealth for themselves are miserable.
That's the irony of it, isn't it?
Are miserable.
The more self-centered we are, the more depressed and meaningless life becomes.
And often the most generous people are the poor people.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes watch these documentaries of, you know, people going on in the streets and asking rich people for a dollar. They won't even part with a dollar. But when they go to a poor person that's begging for money, most cases they will give. I find that is so interesting.
That's fascinating. You know, Justin, this is a really meaningful conversation that we're having, and we're going to come to some music now, and then I want to give a bit of a shout out to some of our listeners who've been texting us. And we're going to come to this song that is by Audrey Assad. It is a beautiful hymn. It is the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And interestingly enough, written by Horatio Spafford, who devoted most of his life actually to helping the poor and the needy in Israel, in fact. And so I pray that you're blessed by this beautiful song.
Like a attendeth my way when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, "So
Welcome back. You are listening to Faith FM. This is Drive Time Big Q&A with Marty and Justin coming to you live from Adelaide. You know, I tell you, that's such a powerful song. And look, praise God that it can be well with our soul as we look to Jesus, even in the midst of chaos and confusion. What a wonderful truth that is. Friends, I want to give a bit of a shout out. I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Andrew Kaczynski. Yes, thank you for tuning in from that small rural village in North New South Wales. You've got me curious where you're living now, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
But great to have you texting it in. And thank you so much, Viv, too. What an encouraging message you've sent us from country Victoria. And, what a wonderful thing. And, yes, we do have a program on Faith FM called Give Me the Bible with Len Hennig. And he's one of our residents here in South Oz. And I'm so glad to hear that program has been a blessing to you. Friends, we do have the free giveaway today. It's called Screen Smart. This is a must-have for every home. A book that was just released this year. It's a magazine. It's very vibrant looking, and released just this year, dealing with this big subject of how do we be screen smart. I'm just going to read a little bit, not the whole amount of the description here. It says, in Screen Smart, readers are invited to pause, look up, and consider what happens when we step away from screens and back into real life. Packed with eye-catching visuals, interactive games, quizzes, and challenges, from digital detoxes to green time adventures, Screen Time explores gaming overload, social pressure, emojis, AI, and the search for validation, while encouraging authenticity, balance, and meaningful connections. I think that this is such a timely resource, Justin, and I'm excited about this because this is such a big thing, particularly for young people and teenagers and families who, you know, screen time can become a very, very difficult thing to navigate. Having a book like this will help you to have those conversations with your kids, with your teenagers, and perhaps even help you as well navigate this tricky situation with screens. Well, if you'd like to get your free copy of Screen Smart by Vibrant Life, all you've got to do is text our studio number. And our number here from Adelaide is 0488 808 11. And once again, our studio number is 0488 808 11. If you want to get Screen Smart, this free resource, just text us the code SA427. And just 5 digits, SA427, and we'll get you this resource in the fastest way possible. Thank you so much for those who've already texted in to claim this free offer. It's great to see that that people are recognizing that, hey, I wanna have good information to guide me with this resource. Great to see some more people texting in just now. Justin, we've got a few minutes left. What do you want us to take home from this question about, you know, or this whole principle of taking care of the poor that we see outlined in the Word of God?
If you want to be happy, help others.
Wow.
The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he.
Wow.
You know, I remember when I was a student studying theology, when I had a little bit of extra money, the end of the month, I would go and buy some food and make up food packages and give it to people that were living on the streets. You know,
God blessing.
And so, I said, Lord, I want to do this on a regular basis. And so we would make these food packages, you know, as a student. You know, it's not like you have lots of money, but there was some residue and of money at the end of the month, as God blessed us because he provided for us. You know, with my wife, we were intentional in blessing others. And what a joy this was. What a joy when you go out into the community, into the streets, and you tell someone, brother, sister, Jesus loves you, and I want to give you this food. And, you know, sometimes there would be tears, you know, of thankfulness, of happiness, and that to think that, you know, God has used me to touch someone. You know, your sleep is very sweet that night. So there is a blessing. There's a promise in the Word of God in Psalm 41, verse 1, and this is profound. Pastor Marty, could you read this?
Psalm 41, verse 1.
This is a profound Bible verse, especially relating to the poor. Could you read that for us?
I've actually got it. I've got a little note written next to it, and it says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble."
That's a beautiful promise.
That is a tremendous promise.
So that those who consider the poor, who didn't close their hands or their hearts to the cry of the needy, but they gave that which God has blessed them with to bless others, God says that those ones he will help in the time of trouble. And I do believe that that is any time of trouble that we're in, but maybe this also refers to the great time of trouble that is coming upon the world. God will acknowledge those as his who have reflected his heart of love unto others. There's a
beautiful, so the goal of life is
not to live for yourself, is giving. There's, you know, this is the principle of heaven. This principle of giving is built into the very, you know, mechanism of nature. Everything in nature gives for the benefit of others. To close off, I want to read another beautiful verse from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. It says this, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in what? Good works, ready to give, willing to share." And notice what it says, "storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." There is so much packed into this verse. You know, Marty, one thing that I really do believe this with all my heart, that the only thing that has eternal value and everlasting significance is what you do for Christ. So everything that you do for self, everything that you do for my own selfish needs and wants will perish. But that which you do for Christ will be immortalized. In other words, because the Bible says that as we give, as we share for others, we store up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold in eternal life. So we're investing in the bank of heaven.
That's now, an investment you can't lose.
You can't lose in the bank of heaven. You will lose all your wealth in this world.
Yes.
It'll all be gone, but you cannot lose anything that you invest in heaven. And so, you know, the Bible teaches us timeless principles in which God wants us to use our wealth, our resources, for the glory of God and the benefit of others. You know, it was really very clearly outlined in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, that God wants us to be giving, to be sharing of that which He has given us. And we will be happy, we will be blessed, and be ready for the coming of Jesus.
This is a very powerful and encouraging and inspiring message you've shared with us, Pastor Justin. And would you lead us in just a brief prayer, asking God to give us that sacrificial love for others, and particularly for the poor?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of justice, that you are a God of love. And this is so clearly reflected in the Bible, where you stood up for the poor and you counseled and instructed your people to share of their blessings with others. Lord, I pray that we will take these principles to heart. Give us a self-sacrificial and self-giving heart that you may give us opportunities to reach out and bless others, because that truly is where true happiness and joy is found. And so, Lord, help us to be willing to follow Jesus and to reflect your character. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us for Faith FM Drive Time. This has been Marty and Justin coming to you live from Adelaide. Friends, we will be continuing this series on what are these ancient principles dealing with finance in the Bible. This is going to continue tomorrow with Pastor Gary and Pastor David. And tomorrow, as that program is going to be something special, I want you to encourage you to tune in again, 5 p.m. Adelaide time, 5:30 p.m. if you're on the East Coast. And we're also broadcasting in Western Australia as well, all over Australia. But friends, until tomorrow, I want to leave you with this beautiful promise. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May God richly and abundantly bless you."